a portion of scripture, usually from the Gospel of Luke, that's not reported in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels. They are the same in that they basically contain the same acts and words of Jesus, and so that they are similar. But in Luke, in the passage we're looking at today, it's the only place that is used in the four Gospels. It's the only place he reported this in the four Gospels. So turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this morning, to chapter 11. Now I'm going to read to you the two verses that I'll be trying to teach you this morning, but I want you to get the context. This is Jesus' ministry for several chapters back up to the present day, where he sent out disciples, 70 disciples. And they went out healing and preaching and casting out demons, and they returned with a wonderful report of God's power. And then he continues to teach those disciples, perform miracles, and interspersed in these previous two chapters to chapter 11 are his sayings that are recorded in one place, in one preaching, in the Sermon on the Mount. And so the Sermon on the Mount is one sermon that he delivered to his disciples. But he continued to teach those things through other places that he went. And here in our chapter, we find that he gives, again, his disciples instruction on the Lord's Prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. And then he gives other illustrations about praying, of being persistent in prayer to God. One of the great promises to everyone in this room is verse 13 of chapter 11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And actually continually ask him. So if you feel like you don't understand the gospel and you don't know what to do, and you don't know what it feels like, we emphasize too much feelings today. But here's a promise of Jesus Christ to you, that God the Father, who knows how to give good gifts like you give good gifts to your children, is more than willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You should pray as you read your Bible for God's Spirit to illumine your mind, to understand, and to flee to Christ and grow in Christ. So this is one of those full chapters of the Bible where we have so many things. Then Jesus cast out demons from a man after that and showed his power. And then in verse 27, it says, "And it came about while he said these things," while he was teaching all these things and casting out demons, "one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed.' But he said, 'On the contrary,'" and it means the contrary, "rather," he said, "'blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it,'" observe it, keep it, guard it. That's really the intent here. Watch, keep, guard, do, live your life according to. And these two verses tell us how our Lord thought about blessing in this world. And the word blessed means happiness. That's what it means. Happy are the poor in spirit, that know they're spiritually poor. Happy are they because theirs is, present tense, the kingdom of heaven. You may be spiritually poor and not know what to do, but if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And so blessedness is happiness, And one blessedness of Jesus, a beatitude that's not recorded in the Gospels, I always use at weddings and many other places, but Jesus said, it is more blessed, more happy to give than to receive. So which are you, a giver or a receiver? You want people to give to you and you receive? Or are you the one who gives, who loves, forgives, and serves? That is your direction, your desire, your direction in life, your passion now to honor Christ, to live like that. Jesus' sayings of blessedness are opposite from the world's. The world tends to think of happiness in terms of materialism, the things you can see, touch, taste, hear, the people, the things that they purchase, the things they build, things that they can do, their freedom, their health, their wealth. All you can go list, a long list of how happiness is measured in this world, but as you that are older know, having lived perhaps a lifetime of observing so-called happiness in the world, you can see it often ends in despair, depression, and death. But Jesus spoke of a blessedness that is so happy that even if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And you're happy. So we look at this beatitude. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So what I want to look at this morning is what caused this woman to cry out, blessed? Second, what did she say? And then third, how our Lord Jesus Christ responded to her cry. And there's a lot in this for us. First of all, what caused the woman to cry out so? In verse 27, it says, it came about while he said these things. In other words, he was speaking. He was teaching about the casting out of the demon that no one could cast out and explaining to them. The Pharisees said, you did it by Beelzebub, the devil. And he said, no, I did it by the finger of God. And if I did it by the finger of God, the kingdom has come upon you. And she saw the power of Christ casting out this demon. And this man sitting here in peace and harmony, pardon me. We see Christ teaching against the Pharisees, trying to destroy his reputation and his ministry. But she saw through all of that. And while he was speaking, she cried out. In other words, she interrupted Jesus while he was preaching. She could not contain herself at something that she saw. And she saw him, she saw what he said, she saw what he did, she heard him teaching about the Lord's Prayer, and she could no longer contain herself, and she just cried out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which you nursed. So this woman cried out because she saw Christ. It wasn't just the miracle. She was now talking about him, the person, blessed is the woman that bore you in the womb. You are amazing. This isn't just praising you because he cast out a demon. She realized who he is. And what he is doing is just a testimony that God the Son has visited, that he's almighty and he can save. He can cast out demons and he can save me. And so filled with the gospel, she cried out aloud, blessed is the woman who bore you and the breast that nursed you. So she was crying out, I believe, in faith. That's what caused her. And what did she say exactly? She said, happy or blessed is the womb that bore you. And of course, she's specifically talking about Mary. Now, we don't know that she knew Mary. It didn't matter to her, really, in a sense, who bore him. That any woman that would bear such a person, God the Son and the man of God in one person, was blessed. I guess she imagined herself in that way. What it would be like to give birth to this man, this one. What it would be like to nurse him and to raise him, to grow him, to know him, to spend time with him as a mother spends time with a child. We mothers spend their life raising their children so much at home and teaching them to read, teaching them how to listen, teaching them how to honor those to whom honor is due, and spending time with them, reading to them, talking to them about the Lord, praying with them. And on and on and on goes the work of a godly mother. And this woman, whether she had children or not, cried out in praise to Jesus. And the blessing of any woman who would know him and give him birth. She was overwhelmed with him. Are you overwhelmed with him? I'm not asking you to cry out in the middle of my sermon. But are you overwhelmed with him? One emphasis we've been having in the last year or so among the elders is to try to emphasize that becoming a Christian is not just about what you believe, but it's who you believe. It's not just about making sure your sins are covered and you go to heaven and experience eternity in this wonderful new heaven and the earth, but rather that you spend it with him. You know the God who has saved you with humility unto suffering and death because he loves you that much and wishes you to be with him to experience his joy and give you joy. That's what it means to believe, to have faith, to come to Christ, to believe who he is, what he has done, is doing, and is going to do, and to rejoice in a personal union by his Spirit with your Spirit all the time. Fellowshipping with Christ by faith. So she cried out, blessed is anyone who has raised you. Proverbs says, chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Now see, that's a commandment to children who are on this side of the fall, who are by nature sinful, who have to look to God for mercy and help to live, and that they are to pursue being a wise son and bring joy to their father and mother. But Mary started out with joy, with a son who never sinned. And while she was raising those other children and making mistakes, and who knows, contrary to popular opinion, did sin, here was Christ, the Son, her Son, whom she had nursed and brought up, loving her as God had called a child to love a mother. Never sinning against her. Never sinning against his brothers and sisters. This woman understood what it means to know him and believe in him. So when we come to Christ and we repent of sin and believe in him as our Lord and Savior, this is what happens. He joins himself to us and we become part of his family. And he looks upon us as sons and daughters. Brethren, it says in Hebrews 2, brothers and sisters that he stands before the Father with. And he says, "Here, Father, these whom you have given me, we praise you." Happy is the mother of a godly, kind, spiritually minded child who grows up to be like Jesus. But Mary, this woman understood. She had it all. And thank the Lord, he responds in a way that should encourage her. How did Jesus respond to that? On the contrary, rather, he says, okay, a woman may be blessed who bore me and who nursed me and raised me. But on the contrary, listen to me. This is what blessing is. More blessed than Mary? Yes. I don't know how we could be more happy than Mary, but he says happy. Happy are those who hear the word of God and observe it or do it or grasp and guard it. Now, if you turn back to Luke 8, he uses a similar idea. And in verse 19, it says that his mother came to him and his brothers also, but they were unable to get to him, Luke 8:19, because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." Now, ordinarily, if that happened to us, we might just get up from our seat and say, "Well, oh, my mom's here, the one who raised me, the one who bore me and gave me birth and nursed me and cared for me until I became a man and began my ministry. I need to go see my mother." And he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Same thing as chapter 11. He didn't use the word blessed, but he said those who hear the word of God and guard and watch and keep and protect, they seek after the word of God all the time. They continually do it, or they continually pursue it. Those people are so blessed that I consider them my family. Now, on earth, we have relations within our families, and sometimes they're very blessed. And in various churches that I've served and got to know people and their backgrounds and families, I've seen God's blessings upon some of you with wonderful families and backgrounds and happiness in the family, Christian teaching and loving parents, wise parents that are able to communicate with you even after you're an adult, and they're patient, listen, and give counsel, and you feel disposed to go to them because you've come to see that they are so good and wise and love you. Even if they say difficult things to you, you go to them. On the other hand, I've seen many families where children never know that kind of love. Some never know forgiveness. Some never know the affections of a father who loves and gives time with his children and teaches his children the Word of God and teaches them as they go to and fro, when they play, when they go in the woods, and when they go to and fro, and he teaches them about the truths of life and how a Christian lives in a fallen world. Some have had that. Many have never had that. So to think of God as a father and entering into the family of God, literally, to be a mother, a brother, a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ is something that's hard to understand. How do you feel close to a brother or a sister? How does that work? How can you have that open, mature, loving, kind conversation and consideration for the other's needs as more important than your own, as Jesus did for us? And so for him to say that he who does the will of my Father is my mother and brother, that's a wonderful promise, but how does it work? The way it works is you hear the word of God and you guard and keep it and do it. And as you do that, you will taste more of his brotherhood, of his love for those he considers the family for whom he died. And you will also have a greater understanding of the kind of love that's supposed to exist in a Christian church, full of brothers and sisters by the same Lord, and in a family where a brother and sister in Christ join themselves forever to love one another as he first loved them, no matter what the other does. It's a call to be like him in this world. And he says, if you live this way, you hear the word of God, verse 28 back in Luke 11, and observe it, you will be happy. No matter what's happening to you in your life, you will be happy. Now, not necessarily happy as the world thinks happiness, with having everything you've always wanted. Because the problem is the human heart has a deep well that can never be filled with things. It must be filled with God to be happy. But this happiness that comes from hearing the word of God and doing it comes only in knowing him like she saw in him. Blessed. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you, that could be near to you, that close to you all the time. And here where she's seeing him perform miracles. She's seen him not long before, back in chapter 8, I believe. She's perhaps even heard him then give the parable of the soils or of the sower. How four different people hear the word and what they do with it. The hard heart that's not really listening and doesn't want to listen to God hears the word, and it's like a seed planted on a hard road. And before it can take root, the birds come and eat that seed and take it away, which Jesus said, that's the devil. And then there are the grounds of the rocky soil and the thorny soil, that the seed of the word fell on those hearts. And it seemed to start growing and saying, all right, this is going to be a plant that bears fruit to God. But the sun beats down on the rocky soil and withers the plant. So when persecutions come, it dries up and you don't see it anymore. And then there's the thorny soil where the word falls, the seed falls on that ground, that heart. And the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things start growing and choke the word where it cannot bear fruit. And then there is the good ground made good by the sower himself. It is cleared of rocks, cleared of thorns and thistles. He has plowed the ground, Spurgeon said, with the 10 great horses that break up the fallow ground of the soul. And that seed falls on that ground and takes root. And Jesus said, this is the one that understands the word and acts upon it. And that's what he's getting at here in Luke 11 again. He's always saying, it's good to hear the word of God, but that's not enough. It's good to even understand the word of God. He even told Nicodemus that he understood a lot. But what matters is, do you take it in? And it's hard to explain these things, isn't it? But Jesus told his disciples to take in the word, to welcome the word, to embrace the word, to hear the word. And he said, be careful how you hear. So even this morning when I'm teaching here, are you hearing the word? Or are you just kind of saying, well, Brother Fred's doing his thing again, and you know, I'm kind of tired, and he'll be over, you know, in an hour or so. But anyway, how Jesus said to the disciples several times, be careful how you hear. And he meant by that when the word of God is proclaimed or read as we do, make sure that you take it in. And what he meant by that is you think about it, maybe memorize it, but think about it, try to understand it, pray for God's Spirit to help you, and having taken it into your mind, you change the way you used to think from before you took in the word. You commit yourself to Jesus' words over your own thoughts and own opinions and the opinions of others, and that you submit to him as Lord through his words. That's what he's talking about here. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it or guard it. You actively hear. There are some people that I love to hear preach, and they preach in such a way that it is intense for me to hear. Jeff Thomas is one of them, that brother that came and preached for us a few years ago from Wales. Every word that he says is so full and so, I don't know, just right, that you want to take it and remember everything he said because it feeds your soul while you're listening to him, and you want it to be there tomorrow. And you want it to change the rest of your life as he points you to Christ and helps you to understand the height and depth and width and breadth of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you want to keep that with you. So you listen intently and you take notes to remind yourself to think of these words tomorrow. It just makes me weary, but a good weariness. Now, after I preach, I usually have to take a nap because I'm worn out. Do you ever do that because of how you hear? You say, man, well, it's really hard to listen to Brother Fred. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you see Christ in those words? Do you see him? Heaven's portals with the Father before the world began. And the Father says, this is my will. I'm going to create a creation. I'm going to create man in my image. They are going to fall by their own will, not my will, not my desire. But they are going to choose to disobey me and bring sin into this world of people made in my image. And they all deserve to go to hell. But I have planned that you, son, should go and be their Savior. Are you willing? Yes, Father, of course. Because your will is my will. And I'm as delighted to go for them as you're delighted to choose and save them. God is a person. He's not a thing. He's other than we are as creatures, but we are other than other creatures because he made us in his image and gave us a spiritual being in his image, a part of us, our soul and our spirit, to know God again. And the idea of meeting God before we stand before the judgment throne with a Savior instead of without one, and to see how Tom so fully described the sadness and punishments of hell for those who will turn away from God. To believe that the Lord Jesus will save all who come to him as they are and place their faith in him to receive them as he promised and to cleanse them by his blood and to grant them the gift of eternal life. It is of such a wondrous gift that nothing in this life or history can be compared to it. And that means that every Christian has eternity in their hearts and in their future, and that nothing in this world can take it away. Nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, their Lord. This woman saw that in him. If not fully, she saw it. And she could not hold back another minute. Blessed! Blessed is the womb that gave birth to you. Blessed are the breasts that nursed you. You. And he says, on the contrary, there's a greater blessing. Happy are those who hear the word of God and follow it. Guard it, keep it, seek after it, and keep on seeking to follow it. Do you believe that? Well, I think we can tell. How energized are you to learn Jesus' words for your soul? Now, you know, we read through the Bible in a year sometimes. And that's good to do, really good to do. Because we get the whole mind of God before us when we do that. But there's also that kind of Bible study that focuses on, say, the Sermon on the Mount. Really studies it. Dr. Lloyd-Jones' commentary on the Sermon on the Mount is just simply his sermons preaching it, but it is one of the richest studies you'll ever have in your life as a Christian, where he brings out what it means to be poor in spirit, what it means to mourn, what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and what happiness comes from that. That's not the way the world thinks. It's the way God thinks. And we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to think the words of God, to believe them, that they are true, to trust the one who gave them as your soul's love. And out of love for such a great Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, to think and transform your thinking according to these words of what is really true, no matter what others think. And in so doing, you will be renewed by the transforming of your mind, and you will prove, same word, do, what the will of God is. Our Lord made Christianity so simple. We're the ones that's made it complicated. So do you identify with this woman that she saw his miracles, and you look in the Gospels and there they are, just as true now as they were then, just as powerful, just as amazing, through this person who never sinned and it just overwhelms you that you wish you had been there. If only I could have seen him cast out these demons. But you see, you can. This is the infallible, inspired Word of God that is perfect in its accuracy of what happened then. And you can know that this is what Jesus did and this is what he said. And it is the first priority of the life of the Christian who wants to become conformed to the image of his Son. His commandments, his promises, you have to remember them, the Word of God to do them. You have to guard them and protect them in your mind. And Jesus said to this woman, who could only think perhaps of the greatest blessedness of all to be his mother, he said, I'll tell you who my mother is. I'll tell you what blessedness is. The one who hears the word of God and guards and keeps it and pursues it and does it. They are happy. So if you're here and you don't know what happiness we're talking about, there's good news because Christ rose from the dead, and here are his words. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to me. He that believes on me does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into eternal life. If you believe him, then you have to believe his words and act upon them to know the blessing and happiness of them. And the same with every Christian who is seeking to honor the Lord in everything in their life. They want to be conformed to the image of Christ. They want to be Christ-like. They understand that what we see in Jesus Christ is the Word of God himself and the words of God walking. If you want to learn love, you look at the life of Christ and see how he treated even his enemies. But see how he treated his friends. See at the Lord's Supper, the Apostle John, as they were eating the Passover, laying sideways at the table, suddenly he leans over on Jesus' breast and Jesus embraces him. A love that is personal, a love that is sacrificial, a love that is persevering and forgiving. A person who will never leave you or forsake you. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. These are my mothers and my brothers. And by faith, when you believe these things are true in the Bible, and you go to him who called you to come, and you believe what the Bible says, that he receives you and promises, and the promises and the gifts are yours, by coming. He that goes to God, comes to God, must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. When you believe he keeps his word to you in the coming, then you're his. And his words suddenly become life to you. And though you may go through many trials and difficulties, and sickness and death and opposition and persecution and circumstances that are so difficult, it's hard for others to even understand what you go through. You know that he does. And he's with you. And he's causing all of these things as our Almighty King to work together for good to those who love him. Their first desire is to hear his word and to do it. And in his person and in his words is found the only true and lasting happiness and blessedness there is in this life or the next. Look unto Jesus. learn his words, believe his words, trust him that he brings to pass everything he says. And you will grow in grace, undeserved grace. You will grow and see the magnitude of it. And you'll grow in knowledge of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you. And you will find your own heart turning to him through the word read and the spirit applied, turning to him daily and many more times during the day. And you will learn the blessing of living in his presence, because he is living his presence with you and in you all the time. Nothing can take away the joy of those who believe him. Let's pray.